The most important thing I want people to understand about Alzheimer's disease is that it can be prevented, it can be reversed, it is not a death sentence. It's largely up to you. I like to say it's about 80% behavioral, perhaps 20% genetic.
What are the three base causes of Alzheimer's disease?
So some of the three base causes of Alzheimer's disease, number one is inflammation. Number two is type 2 diabetes. Mm-hmm. You've heard Alzheimer's disease called type 3 diabetes. And then another major cause that a lot of people don't think about is...
What are the three most dangerous drinks for your brain?
So number one, this is an obvious one, people still drink it, is soda. So soda is high in sugar, but has no fiber. And so when we drink soda, that spikes our insulin, spikes our blood glucose, that increases the risk of type 2 diabetes. Number two, this is the Frappuccinos, you know, these giant drinks just packed with sugar. And then lastly, some people think this one is healthy. These are the...
Robert Love, a healthy man and a neuroscientist. You know, it was crazy that I saw you. I'm like, I know that guy. I follow your work. And
you.
You share some science-based... that's part of your tagline. Go ahead and say your tagline.
Yeah, so my name is Robert Love. I'm a neuroscientist, and I specialize in helping people prevent Alzheimer's disease with science.
See, it gets me every time. It gets me every time, man. It's such a...
I appreciate the applause in the background. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's so cool that we get to use social media to share science that helps people live better lives.
I mean, what
could be cooler than that? That's so great. Look, you probably don't want to read the science. I don't like reading all the science all the time either, but when I find something, I want to share it with people. And so it's so cool that we can do that and tell people, hey, this food's really great for you. This supplement's great, or don't do this, or get your sleep.
Yeah, it helps people creates awareness so they can make better choices that can give them a better life. And that's ultimately what we do. It's not, you can't put fear on it. If you put fear on it, just talk to Fab Mancini about that. You put fear on it and it's going to create a negative outcome. Well, you're going to continue to get that. If you put an awareness label on it of what we do, and then that awareness is going to create not a negative outcome in your life, but a positive one. That's why we do what we do. You even show me, hey, Warren, here's some of my stuff. Do you see all those hours? That's hours of impact. That's what creates...
You love it. Yeah, so what you're talking about, the Instagram. I love looking at the Instagram and seeing how many days videos have been watched.
Yeah,
that's really fun.
And when you said that, I'm like, man, I do that too, because it is about impact. So... let's get to some impactful things. You're a wealth of knowledge, especially when it comes to Alzheimer's, neurodegenerative conditions. You have lists and five things you can do, you know, to increase your brain power, like to increase your memory. Here's three foods. Like, you have all these beautiful, simple solutions that people can utilize to create a better life, to create better outcomes and positive outcomes, especially in the area of neurodegeneration, which is one of the biggest fears out there. And rightfully so. There's a lot of choices we're making today. There's a lot of choices we're all making today that are limiting the best life we could possibly live. And where you focus is on Alzheimer's. And if there's one thing about Alzheimer's that we want to communicate today, what would that be?
So the most important thing I want people to understand about Alzheimer's disease is that Alzheimer's is preventable. There is something you can do about it. There are many things you can do about it. The top journals in the field 5 years ago published 12 things you can do to help reduce the risk of Alzheimer's disease. Unfortunately, a lot of neurologists don't share that with their patients.
Yeah.
How many neurologists are giving their patients 12 things they can do when they walk in the door, when they say, I'm concerned, I have dementia? Great, here's 12 things. I want you to do these. These are about sleep and diet and exercise and reducing stress and reducing exposure to heavy metals and so forth. I think it takes about 20 years for the science to trickle down to practitioner level, which is way too long. If you have Alzheimer's today, you don't wait for 20 years for your neurologist to say, oh, back in 2012, they actually published some data that might be helpful to you. I don't think you want to wait. So the number one thing is it can be prevented. And in many cases, it can be reversed. And this is really important for people to understand. So I got into this field because of my family. I had two grandparents with dementia. I had one grandfather who had Alzheimer's disease. That was my grandfather on my father's side, and the grandfather on my mother's side had dementia, unspecified. We think it was from dry cleaning chemicals. He was a dry cleaner.
Yeah, I used to clean those up in my environmental cleanup days.
Nasty chemicals. He and his brother both had very similar dementias. Herc. A number of years ago, I went back home to help my mother. She had back surgery, and so I was going to stay at home and help around the house as she recovered. My dad, though a loving man, is not the best caretaker. So I wanted him at the law office. I would stay home. I'd help mother recover. And when I was home, I noticed my parents had, I was concerned about their memory, both of them.
Yeah.
And I became concerned because they both have a there's a history of dementia in our family. I started doing the research, I started looking at their food. I said, oh my gosh, look what they're eating.
Yeah.
And so at the time I was working with children and adults with attention deficit disorder. And I started doing the research on Alzheimer's prevention. And I found out there was just a wealth of information. So I switched my focus from ADHD to Alzheimer's prevention at that time. And I started with food. And I started with my parents. I said, look, we got to get the sugar out of the house.
Yeah.
And we got to get the chocolate out of the house. We got to get you healthy chocolate. Let's spend the money and get you healthy desserts that you're going to enjoy and stop flooding your bodies with sugar. So just wherever people are, a loved one has dementia or Alzheimer's disease, it can be prevented. It can be reversed. It is not a death sentence. Dr. Dale Bredesen, who's a medical doctor from UCLA, mm-hmm. who published, he was one of the first doctors to say Alzheimer's can be prevented and reversed. And he's shown that in his data. He says Alzheimer's is optional. And so if you're willing to do the diet, which is the hardest part for most people, if you're willing to eat healthy food, if you're willing to prioritize your sleep, if you're willing to get exercise and then avoid smoking and drinking alcohol or drinking too much alcohol, you can avoid dementia basically regardless of your genetic makeup. And that's astounding. So Alzheimer's, it's in your hands. Whether or not you get it or not, it's largely up to you. I like to say it's about 80% behavioral, perhaps 20% genetic.
I love that you share that. And some of these doctors, they're called crazy because it's a death sentence. Dementia is one of the top killers in America. So it doesn't just make you lose your memory. It literally kills you, right, at the end of the day. And it's a top killer that can be prevented, like heart disease. Cancer, I would even throw that in there. There's a lot of prevention that can happen there as well.
I mean, it has to be preventable. If you look at the cancer rates, I remember they used to be 1 out of 4, and that was huge. That was maybe 10 years ago. Now they're 1 out of 3 Americans will have cancer at some point in their life. Well, did our genetics get, I don't know what that percentage is, worse between 25 to 33? Did our genetics get 8% worse in the last 10 years? Well, no.
No.
Our environment and our behavior has gotten so much worse. Our food has gotten so much worse. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Just seeing what people eat it's terrifying to me. It's terrifying what people are giving to their children to eat. And I just like, oh my gosh, I wouldn't put that. Have you seen those Super Bowl commercials where they have the animals and they're eating, I think it was Doritos.
Yeah.
Not to pick on Doritos, but any snack food. And then the chipmunk or the squirrel is eating the Doritos and it's having a really great time. And then it says, warning, do not give animals Doritos.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's terrible for them. But these companies are perfectly fine.
You could kill a squirrel.
It could be harmful to wildlife.
Yeah.
These companies are perfectly fine giving these to humans, and in particular, small humans, children. These companies are perfectly fine slowly, slightly poisoning us on a regular basis and even poisoning our children. And it says that in their advertisements. If it's dangerous for a deer, it might be dangerous for your 3-year-old.
That's a good line. If it's dangerous for a deer, it may be dangerous
for your 3-year-old. Yeah, so I don't know why people are feeding their children these processed foods.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about, and there's lots of places I can go with you. You're so well-versed on this topic, and we have some overlapping material, but let's talk about these artificial flavors, right? They're neurodegenerative as well. They're tricking your brain. They're causing neural inflammation. They can lead to ADHD, something that you studied for years. So what is it about these fake neurological toxins that can induce brain inflammation? And there's so many, right? And we don't have to just
Let's start with sweeteners, artificial sweeteners.
Okay.
And I want to differentiate between these sugars. So Dr. Andrew Huberman, a neurosciencer from Stanford, someone who I really like, I think he's got great information. He did a podcast. He talked about artificial sweeteners. He kind of talked about them broadly.
Yeah.
And the challenge was, I think he missed some stuff. And so it's important to differentiate sweeteners that are natural sweeteners that are sugar replacements versus the artificial chemical sweeteners. That's a huge separation. So I'll give you the chemical sweeteners first. We got aspartame, we got sucralose, we got acesulfame C. I don't know how to pronounce that. These are things like Equal. These are the colored packets on the table. A lot of these have negative impacts on our gut microbiome. Dr. David Perlmutter, a neurologist, talked about how, I think it was Equal. He said one packet of Equal can kill approximately half of your gut bacteria. That's crazy. That's as bad as an antibiotic, or it might be worse. I don't know. It depends upon the antibiotic. So these artificial sweeteners just alone can be damaging to our gut bacteria. What's good for our gut is good for our brain. Harming our gut can be very harmful for our brain and harmful for many different downstream systems in the body. And so it's important to differentiate between these artificial sweeteners that are chemical artificial sweeteners. Mm-hmm. And then we have things such as xylitol. stevia, mm-hmm. monk fruit sugar, and allulose.
Got it.
These are, I like these generally speaking. Xylitol is made from birch trees. Mm-hmm. Xylitol is 50% the calories of regular sugar. It's also good for your teeth. So yeah. if you do a xylitol, I do xylitol multiple times a day as a mint. Mm-hmm. When I was in graduate school, I got to interview Dr. Ellie, who's a dentist, who was advocating xylitol. This would have been almost 20 years ago. This was 15 years ago at the University of Texas. I met her at basically a fluoride-free event. Mm-hmm. I was passionate about getting fluoride out of the water when I was in graduate school. Still am. Yeah. Still making
Me
progress.
Too. And wasn't they just a ruling in Florida that they won to remove fluoride from the water?
What city? Or was it the state?
I think it's the state.
Really? That's yeah. news to me. That's yeah, fantastic. That's
there
wonderful.
There is some news. There's some folks have been sharing it. I saw it on social media, but I didn't click.
It's amazing to me this is still a thing because the science was clear 20 years ago that fluoride's bad in the water. And it's bad for many different systems. Bad for children. Fluoride can cross the blood-brain barrier in children because the blood-brain barrier is not formed until 6 months of age. Large research studies out of China. Children exposed to fluoride have lower IQs. Tons of data.
Tons.
Right? And still, it was a huge uphill battle then. And still today, I've had videos flagged saying this is not scientifically accurate. When I say, look, you don't want to give fluoridated water to children. Here's why. Children, first of all, should be drinking breast milk. Babies. I'm talking about babies. Yeah. They should be drinking breast milk. The mother's body actually filters out 99, 98% of the fluoride. So mother's body knows not to give babies fluoride. Mother Nature knows this. And Amen. So adding it into the water that the baby drinks directly is really, really stupid. That's just completely counter to the science. And so I published a video on this, and then it got flagged saying, oh, this has false information. No, it doesn't. And it's really scary. It's scary for me that there are large companies adding fluoride to baby water and marketing that to mothers. And mothers say, I'll pay the extra dollar for the fluoridated water for my baby. That's a terrible idea. Please don't do this. And I'm not a medical doctor, not giving you medical advice. Consult your medical doctor, but goodness gracious, consult a competent medical doctor who knows that babies aren't supposed to drink fluoride. There's zero requirement of consuming fluoride. The mineral requirement for drinking fluoride is zero.
Yeah.
Unlike magnesium, which is very high. If you wanted to help your child, add magnesium to the water.
Yeah.
Why don't they add magnesium to water? It's so silly. Artificial sweeteners. So back to artificial sweeteners. Yep. So xylitol is great. I like to take a xylitol mint after eating. It really helps with your mouth bacteria and also helps protect against cavities. So that's a great mint or gum after a meal. So xylitol, but don't eat it too much of it. There was a New Year's Eve party where I was going to. I was all dressed up in a tuxedo, and I wanted to bring a delicious, healthy dessert. And
so you made everybody fart, didn't you?
Yeah, I brought xylitol tiramisu. It was so good.
And it ruined everybody.
Well, I ended up eating half of it.
Oh, it ruined you.
I had terrible stomach aches.
Yeah.
I had a terrible stomach ache. It was awful.
I've done the same thing with carrot cake with friends. Had them over and it ruined their gut. It's too much.
So you got to be careful. So xylitol, I wouldn't bake with it, but it's great.
Yeah.
It's great as far as just rinsing out the mouth and mints and gum.
Yeah.
Number two is, so xylitol, and then my absolute favorite, I'll give you my favorite, is allulose, A-L-L-U-L-O-S-E. I was using this when I first started making a brain-healthy chocolate. This would have been maybe 5 years ago. I was buying this in 50-pound bags from distributors. You couldn't buy it anywhere. Couldn't find it.
Allulose is just now becoming mainstream.
My hope is in 5 years, most processed foods will use allulose because it's 90% fewer calories than regular sugar. It can help stabilize blood sugar. Mm-hmm. In a double-blind, placebo-controlled trial in Korea, obese people who took allulose versus placebo, they actually lost weight. So it helped with weight loss, I think, through blood sugar stabilization, but they didn't explore the mechanism. So that's really cool.
Super cool.
And it's not bad for your teeth. 90% fewer calories, won't spike your insulin, won't spike your blood glucose, basically a one-to-one replacement for sugar. That's amazing. So allulose is a great sugar replacement. And then monk fruit and stevia, I like those in liquid. I will often add that to the allulose to get a more rounded sweetness.
Yeah.
So regular sugar or maple syrup probably has the richest sweetness to it. By the way, natural sugars, maple syrup, and good honey can also be good. Those will spike your blood sugar. Please avoid agave.
Yeah.
Agave is so bad.
Yeah, it's processed.
It's high fructose corn syrup masquerading as health food. So they're charging you more for high fructose corn syrup, which is absolute garbage. What happens is our body with high fructose corn syrup very quickly turns that into fat.
Yeah.
And so people are like, oh, agave, this is natural. This is expensive. I'm going to get this. It's sweet. It is sweet, but it's really high in fructose and promotes fat gain, specifically the visceral fat, the belly fat, the dangerous fat. And so please don't do agave ever. And then tell these companies, stop selling me agave.
Yeah.
You're taking a lot of my money.
Stop putting it in my cocktail.
Exactly. So
I'm going to say that again. Agave is not a healthy sugar.
No.
Got it.
Agave is not a healthy sugar. If you want a healthy sugar, maple syrup. It actually has some magnesium in it. Good maple syrup does. You can do local honey. That can be good for allergies, but that will spike your blood sugar. The healthiest are in allulose, That's a one-to-one replacement for sugar. Stevia and monk fruit sugar. I like to, here's how to use them together. I do one drop liquid stevia, two drops liquid monk fruit sugar. That adds a really nice roundness to the sweetness. That's much better than just stevia. Stevia's got a metallic taste to it, it on does. Its own. So you got to add both. But when you add stevia and monk fruit sugar together, it has this great synergy where it's got a much broader sweetness. And it doesn't taste metallic. It tastes great. So I'll do allulose and then a little bit of stevia monk fruit sugar. Amazing. Really low in sugar. And it feels great. So those are the sweeteners that a lot of people think stevia is artificial and so forth. So there's the good healthy sweeteners that are sugar replacements. Then there's the chemical sweeteners. Those, generally speaking, are not good and not safe because of interference with the gut microbiome. There's been a number of doctors who've published videos saying, Robert Love's wrong about artificial sweeteners.
I've gotten those wrong people too.
Yeah, they
you have an impact now, bro.
Yeah, when people attack you, that means you're often doing something right. There's a study of, I think, 100,000 people, 9 years in France. Tracking 100,000 people in 9 years is a huge study.
Yeah.
What they found was that those who consumed some form of artificial sweetener, usually aspartame, in either food or drink, had a 69% increased risk of type 2 diabetes during the study. That's massive.
It is massive.
And so this is a longitudinal study. You can't study sugars in the laboratory. I can't give you a Diet Coke or a regular Coke and then look at your blood sugar and then say, look, Diet Coke doesn't raise your blood sugar. Diet Coke's not bad for you. Well, there's people don't eat them in isolation. People eat them with food. What happens when you eat Diet Coke with food? Does that affect your blood sugar in different ways? Does it affect your post? Does it affect your hunger later on in the day? Yeah. Does it affect your insulin levels later in the day? Does it affect them chronically and so forth? Was it impact on your gut bacteria? You can't measure this in a 2-hour study in a laboratory. You got to look longitudinally. Longitudinally, we find that aspartame and artificial sweeteners dramatically increase the risk of type 2 diabetes. This study found 69% over a course of 9 years and 100,000 people. So that's the data I look at. I look at this long, longitudinal study of 100,000 people saying, look, this is probably not good. Number two, have you seen any really healthy, like really big healthy people saying, yeah, artificial sweeteners are great?
Nobody.
Diet Coke's great. Have you seen a lot of really healthy people just sucking down Diet Coke? I mean, if it weren't bad for you, I think a lot of people would be doing it.
Let's look at the anecdotal evidence.
How many people who really care about their health and are really good health experts are just chugging Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi? Not to pick on Coke. I don't see anyone doing it either.
I mean, I've told people sitting on the airplane with a Diet Coke, this is my feel. I'm like,
oh, you talk to me on airplanes with this? I let them have their piece.
I used to. Back in the early fiery days, right? You know, we're talking 10 years ago. I couldn't help myself. I'm like,
you know you're killing yourself with that Diet Coke, yeah, right? Like, just so you know.
just use a regular Coke, right?
It would be better.
I would say it's better. So this is fun. You know, I love your energy. We're just going after this, man. So do we want to go into these artificial flavoring, right, and their impact on—
I'm less of an expert on that. I remember, here's a story for you. When I was probably 10 or 12, so mothers who watch this, or parents, your children watch what you do. In particular, children watch what their mothers do. They watch what you eat. They watch how you think, and they watch your exercise. So mothers, please exercise in
front, studies on this
in front of your children. I don't know what the research is on this. It's just anecdotally,
there's a study that showed that children that watch their parents exercise will be X many times more likely to exercise and be healthy.
Awesome. I don't know that research. That makes tons of sense to me.
Yeah.
And I just see it. Just watch kids in the house. Mother does something and mother uses a curse word. 2 minutes later, kid says it.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's not hard to connect. So I remember coming home from school and the pantry is just empty.
Yeah.
And there's just food all over the floor. Say, Mom, what's going on? And she's like looking at things.
I watched your video.
She says, I heard about yellow five, and yellow five's linked with cancer. So I'm going through all of our food to make sure we don't have yellow five. And I'm like, what's yellow five?
Yeah.
And so, and then I remember we went to the store. The next time we went to the store, I wanted pickles.
Uh-huh.
And at the time I liked the Claussen pickles. And so I grabbed the Claussen pickles. She looks at it. She's
yellow,
like, no,
number five.
You can't have that. They have yellow number five. Would I like it? No, it's got yellow number five. I grab another one. How about this one? No, that one has yellow number five. And I grabbed three or four or five of them.
Then you finally found
it. They all have yellow five. I'm thinking, this is terrible.
Where's the turmeric?
Turmeric would have been a good thing to add to pickles for color. So I remember this as a kid. This would have been, I'm 42 now. So this would have been over 32 years ago, 34. So I remember this. I was around 8 years old, and I remember that behavior. And so read labels. Make sure your children see you reading labels and exercising. But these artificial flavors and colors, these have been an issue for a long time.
Yeah.
Pollution in our air and our water is a problem right now. Talk to the people in Flint, Michigan. They haven't had clean water. they're going to have higher rates of almost every different chronic disease, including Alzheimer's disease, forms of dementia, all kinds of problems because
heart disease, poor, life expectancy, all of it. Because
the water in Flint, Michigan.
Same in Pittsburgh, though.
And what's the conversation around the environment?
That Mother Earth is going to die.
It's climate change.
Yeah.
And when is this going to happen?
It should have happened 10 years ago.
But they're talking like 50, 100 years.
Yeah.
We need to clean up today. Right now. There are people getting sick right now because of environmental pollution. They're talking about climate change. That's a distraction. We don't need to talk about 50 or 100 years from now. We need to talk about how sick Mother Earth is today.
She's already sick.
Specifically our air and our water and then our food and what we're putting into the soil. It's bad now. We don't need to talk about the flood that's coming 100 years from now, whether or not that comes. We need to talk about we're sick and dying right now and we're hurting the earth right now. So let's not talk about policy that affects Earth, affects greenhouse gas emissions in 20 years. Let's talk about cleaning up the pollutants that go into the water today.
And we can all agree on that.
And the forever chemicals.
We can all agree on that.
You would think, but we're not having that conversation. We're saying, and then half the science as well is climate change is going to happen. When is it going to happen? How bad is it going to be? That's not important. What's important is we're polluted now. We're sick now. Our water's bad now. Our air's bad now. Let's address these things now and not talk about 100 years from now. And so that's a real big distraction in the environmental talks. Because we're talking 100 years. Don't talk about now. The problem's bad now. We should be addressing things today. Maybe sleep on it. Start tomorrow. But start right away on these things. Stop putting forever chemicals in our water. You know, I went to school at the University of Texas for grad school. And I went to policy school there as well. And the EPA in Texas, it's called the TCEQ, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, is the second largest environmental regulatory board in the country outside the EPA.
Got it.
And what they do is, let's say you're a company and they administer fines. Say, okay, mm-hmm. Your company pollutes the water, we're going to fine you. And so what they do is, so your company pollutes the water and let's say it saves your company $1 million to pollute the water rather than dispose of the waste in a safe way.
And this is how it works.
And your fine is going to be about $100,000. Mm-hmm. So they're incentivized. When I was there, they incentivized companies to pollute the water by fining them less money than it would cost for them to adequately dispose of their waste. So it's almost they're paying them.
Or it's fluoride because their waste and they get rid of it for free.
That was really bad. But we have environmental protection agencies in Texas. I love the state of Texas. I liked living there. I like a lot of their philosophy. I like their freedom. I like the libertarianism. But in Texas, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality is basically paying polluters. They're administering small fines when you pollute mm-hmm. rather than saying, hey, you saved $1 million by not polluting. We're going to fine you $2 million. Because we want you actually cleaning up your mess.
Yep.
We want you running your business and running your manufacturing facility so you don't pollute the air and pollute the water. And so we're not going to give you a small fine. We'll give you a massive fine to disincentivize you from doing this. And that's how crazy some of these things
are. It's
crazy.
That's fact, bro. It's fact.
It's really scary. And so speaking of water, so I highly recommend people drink reverse osmosis or distilled water.
Yeah, we're on the same page there.
Tell me what you think of this. This is my mantra that I've been sharing with people in my TikTok and Instagram Live. It's reduce exposure to toxins.
Yes.
It's organic food, distilled water, or distilled water, organic food. I think it's organic food, distilled water. Just do those things. If you just eat organic food and you just drink distilled water or reverse osmosis water, that'll cut out 90, 95, 97, a massive amount.
Huge amount of your toxic.
Right? Blood. Just do those two things. Organic food and distilled water.
If you just do those two things,
you're so much safer.
Let's talk about coffee for a quick minute, because this is one of the things most of us consume daily without thinking twice. Coffee is a natural product, but that doesn't mean it's clean by default. It's commonly sprayed with pesticides, and if it's improperly stored, it can develop mold and mycotoxins that can impact your energy, digestion, and overall health. That's why I only drink coffee that's organically grown, low acid, and third-party tested for mold and other toxins. Clean inputs matter, especially for something you rely on and use each and every morning. If you love coffee, but you don't love acid reflux, jitters, crashes, and stomach issues, this is an easy place to start. And you can find what I believe to be the world's cleanest coffee and tastiest coffee at lifeboostcoffee.com/nontoxicdad.
I would agree. I mean, when you look at the major exposures, because the things that you do on the daily, right? And there's studies showing that if you switch someone from a conventional vegetables and then for 2 weeks give them organic vegetables and you look at their fertility and infertility, they get pregnant just from switching to organic foods, getting rid of the pesticides, the herbicides. So it's powerful. These things are loaded. Things that you do every day. That's how I like to look at it. What are you doing every day that's exposing you to a load of toxins that your body can't handle? Therefore, it has to store it. And when you start storing these toxins, this is where the cellular inflammation happens. This is where you're overwhelming your immune system. This is where you're now destroying your gut microbiome, which is, you know, connected to your brain. This destructive, and I think one of the reasons why you're going to see a big lift is that glyphosate is so, I mean, it's even in organic foods, but it's one of the ones, it's like the fluoride, right? Glyphosate is like fluoride. It shouldn't be used. The science proves it, but they would rather pay out the currently $11 billion in lawsuits and have another $20 billion pending because they're making more money selling the glyphosate. Yeah,
glyphosate, it's crazy. So glyphosate is Roundup, which is a very commonly used pesticide. I recently heard that it was in our rainwater, which is terrifying to me, which means you can't drink spring water because it could have glyphosate in it. If it's in the rainwater, it's basically everywhere. So it could be in your lawn. It could be in your home creek in the back if it's in the rainwater. And so it turns out this has been known since 2011. I found an environmental paper from 2011 from the government showing that glyphosate was in rainwater. Mm-hmm. So that's 12, 13 years.
Yeah.
Our government's known for 13 years that glyphosate, a very strong pesticide and a known toxin, was in our rainwater. And I just learned about it, I think, within the last 2 years. Someone told me. That's scary to me that information exists for 10 years and almost no one knows about it. If it's in our rainwater, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. What does that mean if it's in organic grains? It's showing up in honey, like even organic honey, because the bees are bringing it back, you know?
If it's everywhere, that means it could be in all of our food.
Ubiquitous.
What happens if low levels of poison enter our entire food system? I don't know. Probably not good things. Yeah. And so, at some point, I hope we don't have to import all our food from Europe because they don't allow glyphosate. It might come to a point where people who can afford it who live in the United States are importing a lot of their produce because there's a lot less glyphosate in Europe because it's not legal there. And we're still allowing it here in the US. It's amazing to me. So government protecting our health, not doing a good job.
No. And then you talked about family. It's like, well, that's affecting families, right?
Of course.
It's affecting our ability to take care of our family, how we treat each other, how we treat our children. We can't show up for our families. We're so overwhelmed that we get home at night. Our hormones are so dysregulated. The best we can do is turn a TV on.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because the food so affects our families. A lot of parents will come up to me and say, hey, what do you think about my child? What's happening with them? They'll describe some symptoms.
Yeah.
They might be autism or ADHD. I'll say, what's the child eating? And it's usually regular standard American diet, which is high fat, high sugar, highly processed foods. I'll say, well, I would start there. Before you think about medications or even before you think about supplements, change your child's diet and get them off the phone. Get them, you know, not looking at a screen. I saw a nanny bringing a baby it was a public park.
Yeah.
With an iPad. I wanted to say, listen, the point of bringing your child outside or bringing the child of the family you're taking care of is so the child is outside and enjoys being outside, not so they watch cartoons on an iPad while you enjoy a walk in the park.
Yeah.
And so taking away these stimulations that are very artificial is a big thing for brain development as well. But so I'm so glad you made that connect. So protecting our families.
Yeah.
Well, if our children are sick, if we're grumpy, if we are eating low quality food, that affects the quality of life. And that really breaks down the family unit because now instead of being able to enjoy our children and enjoy being parents and as they grow up, and playing with them outside, we now are taking them to the doctor and taking them to multiple doctors. They're going to go to get neurofeedback, and they're going to get all kinds of treatments and all kinds of tests and so forth. And it's really stressful. And it's really hard. And so that the food that we feed our children is having a massive impact on the family. I'm so glad you brought that up, Warren.
It's like wounding people so that it sucks resources out of your home. Yeah. You only have so much energy, moms and dads. It was going to save you time. It's going to save you money. It's going to save you pain and suffering by making these switches. So we're bringing awareness. This is what we do. Yeah. And I believe we're both pretty effective at it.
A lot of these things were just bad policy. I don't think there's people who are trying to make everyone in the United States diabetic because that breaks. If half the people in the United States have diabetes, I think our economy collapses because half of us are taking care of the sick people and they're not nearly as productive. And what's going to happen? So if half of us get diabetes, which is where we're going, I think everything breaks.
Yeah.
Hopefully not.
Well, I think there is a movement towards natural health. I think people are moving back to regenerative farming.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, there's a big movement happening. And I think it will shift. Like, I'm hopeful.
It's got to. If it does, yeah. It, like, literally everything breaks. Everyone's going to be on Medicaid because people are going to be poor and type 2 diabetic. And they're going to need a ton of medicine. And they're going to need a ton of healthcare workers. If everyone's either working in healthcare or sick at home, how are we going to be a productive society? Everything is just going to break.
I wish our leaders, a handful do, talk about the reason we want to change healthcare policy, and we care deeply about people. You and I both do. And it's not like I don't want someone not to be able to have healthcare. But what if we pushed the truth? What if we held companies accountable? Europe does a better job, and we have European influencer friends, health influencers. They're saying it's still bad over there, and we're probably a good 25% worse in the foods that we offer.
So much worse.
Yeah. And
do you know what the real worst is? I saw this documentary, India. So India is now the world's most populated country, and they have allowed these large American-based fast food companies to come in there and just sell their people garbage. Obesity and diabetes are skyrocketing in India, which is a really big deal. It's the most populated country in the world. And I saw this documentary. They're showing what's in the fast food. It looked like such utter garbage of processed food. So type 2 diabetes and obesity are just on the rise, huge in India. Compare that to France. France has much lower diabetes and obesity rates than we do. They have much stricter laws on what can be in their fast food. So Europe has much better laws than the United States, and we have better laws than in India. And so I wish at the minimum we'd all adopt what the harshest, strictest laws are in Europe and France to protect people from the cheap additives that these fast food companies are putting in their food in the United States. Oh, this blew my mind. I had a roommate from Mexico, and he brought back a Coca-Cola from Mexico. I mean, this is the actual example. And then he had a Coca-Cola from the United States. He said, Robert, check out these bottles. So I looked at the one. The one from Mexico, it was flavored with sugar. That was a sweetener. Yeah. The one from the United States was sweetened with
high fructose corn
syrup. I said, this is amazing to me. Coca-Cola, an American-based company, is selling a lower quality product to Americans than they sell in Mexico. That's amazing to me.
Yeah.
And they're willing to put profits over people. They're willing to put our health at risk for a slight increase in profit. How much does it cost to do sugar over high fructose corn syrup? Not much.
Not much.
I don't know. Is it a penny? Is it 2 pennies? Is it 5? Does it matter at that level? I don't know. But they're making that choice to hurt Americans' health relative to other countries that require a higher standard of food in their beverages. I thought that was fascinating that American-based company, is there a company more American than Coca-Cola or McDonald's?
Or Budweiser, maybe.
I think that's been bought by a foreign company. So those two companies, there's like, oh, like big, happy American companies. They're poisoning America, and they know they're doing it, and they're not allowed to do it in other countries, so they don't do it as much in other countries. That just, the corporate responsibility, it's amazing to me. And
I want to blow your mind with this. I know the supplement industry well, and I know formulators and manufacturers. They're some of my, you know, I have friends in the industry, and when some of many companies are formulating, and if it's 10 cents more per bottle, and it's going to save them money for a lower quality essential oil, nutrient, it could be contaminated with heavy metals, they will choose. Because I talk to them, they're like, they'll say, no, I want the better price point, especially I don't want to throw any, you know, I'm just going to say that. So money, right? We talk about conspiracy, but a lot of this stuff is economically driven. They're not as smart as they appear to be. They're on TV. You're wowed with these people. The brilliance is in moms, families. We have so much value to add. Stop listening to the messages that you're hearing. Stop believing that this stuff is safe. And it's so hard to make that shift. But once you do, it is Pandora's box. But talk about freedom. One of the things that people love, if you love your freedom, right? If you truly love your freedom, get free. You're not free. You're drinking your Budweiser. Don't give up my beer. You're eating your McDonald's. When you're choosing this stuff, you're not truly free because you're choosing it, but they've tricked you into saying that it's safe. Right? I'm going to die anyway. A lot of these, it's just a little bit of toxins. you are not, you don't have your freedom.
It's just a little bit toxic.
So I'm going after one of your core values in humanity. We love our freedom. You're not truly free if you're still eating this stuff because it's poisoning your body. Yeah, it's a fact.
It's affected your ability to make choices. I want people to be able to eat whatever food they want. I want, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just trying to provide some information that you can choose.
What are the three base causes of Alzheimer's disease?
So some of the three base causes of Alzheimer's disease, number one is inflammation. Mm-hmm. Inflammation is one of the primary risk factors. Almost every other risk factor affects inflammation. Inflammation is also a major cause of premature aging, and high levels of inflammation increase almost risk of almost every different chronic disease. Number two is type 2 diabetes. Mm-hmm. You've heard Alzheimer's disease called type 3 diabetes for a couple reasons. Number one, type 2 diabetes increases inflammation. Mm-hmm. And number two, if you have type 2 diabetes, you're not using energy effectively. That means your brain is not getting the right amount of energy. And if your brain isn't getting the right energy, this can lead to brain fog over time. And someone over age 50 can lead to mild cognitive impairment. And that's basically the beginning of Alzheimer's disease. And then another major cause that a lot of people don't think about is traumatic brain injury. Mm-hmm. People who've had multiple concussions later in life, a lot of people who ski or do these active things or have a car accident, repetitive concussions or traumatic brain injury could be a huge risk factor, especially if it goes unaddressed. And then perhaps one of the biggest ones is food, either inflammatory food or food that does not have the right nutrition. You need to be eating foods that have healthy oils, healthy fats like fish oil, omega-3 fatty acids, and then the right vitamins. For example, dissection studies of Alzheimer's brains find that those have a deficiency in magnesium compared to healthy brains. A lot of Americans aren't eating enough magnesium-rich foods. And so eating the right foods is a really important thing to help reduce the risk of Alzheimer's disease.
So what you're telling me, if someone has brain fog on the daily, and if they continue to have brain fog, that there's can be a correlation to cognitive memory loss, cognitive problems down the road.
Oh, absolutely. If you have poor memory and poor focus today, and then tomorrow, and then the next day, and the next day, and it keeps on sustaining it, that can become the new normal for you. And then it's going to get worse because you're not getting the right stimulation. Your brain's probably not getting the right energy, the right nutrients. Yes, sustained brain fog is absolutely a risk factor for long-term for Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia.
Literally, brain fog is a early onset symptom of Alzheimer's and other neurodegenerative conditions and cognition. So people drink coffee to get rid of brain fog. So you're putting a Band-Aid on something. Your body's telling you that something's wrong. I have low energy in my brain, type 3 diabetes. You're cognitively not there. They wish they could be Robert Love and go into our brain. We all can do that. It's not just us that's able to access this information. Brain fog is a signal telling you that something's wrong with your brain, and putting a Band-Aid on it, taking a nootropic isn't going to fix that cause. That brain fog can lead you down a path that may put you into one of the top killers in America, which is dementia.
Yeah, one of the best things to do for brain fog is sleep and food and exercise. A lot of people with brain fog aren't getting good sleep. A lot of them aren't eating good food. A lot of them aren't getting regular exercise. I would do all three and just watch your brain fog change. More powerful than any supplement that's out there is exercise and then a good diet and then prioritizing your sleep. That will do wonders for the brain.
Beautiful. What are three top supplements for brain health?
So here are three that I really like. So number one is magnesium. Magnesium is used in over 300 enzymatic processes in the body. And then research shows that, it's involved in energy, it's involved in brain health, it's involved in bone health, it's involved in muscles, it's involved in the immune system. And 7 out of 10 Americans, according to the USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture, are not getting enough magnesium-rich foods. So 7 out of 10 Americans likely have a magnesium deficiency or benefit from a magnesium supplement. I like magnesium glycinate as just being inexpensive and very absorbable. And then magnesium threonate is a smaller form of magnesium that can cross into the brain. And then research studies show that in dissection studies, Alzheimer's brains have deficiency in magnesium. So it's a really good idea to make sure you have enough magnesium. And that can also be really helpful with sleep. Number two, I'm going to give you a combo. I learned this from Dr. David Smith at Oxford University. Is fish oil and a B complex vitamin. You want both, and not just a B12, a whole B complex vitamin. Mm-hmm. What he found in his research was that people who take a fish oil and a B complex vitamin have a 30% reduction in their risk of Alzheimer's disease. That is massive.
That's massive.
That is better than any prescription drug out on the market, to my knowledge, that's been FDA approved. So fish oil and a B complex vitamin, I would take them together. And then number three is lion's mane. Now, disclaimer, I have a lion's mane company. I have a lion's mane supplement, so I'm biased in this. The data is huge on lion's mane. It's medicinal mushroom used in ancient Chinese and Japanese medicine. We're just now learning in Western medicine how powerful it is for both the brain and the body. Here are just some of the benefits.
Yeah.
It improves memory in both human and animal studies. It even improves memory short-term. So they gave lion's mane to a bunch of students, and then they gave them a cognitive test. Those who took the lion's mane versus placebo had better performance on the cognitive test. Just like that. Also helped reduce depression, anxiety chronically. There's a cool study in lion's mane cookies where they gave women either a lion's mane cookie or a placebo cookie. The women who took the lion's mane cookie had less depression and anxiety in the study. So it affects that. It affects mood. It affects energy. It improves energy. It helps support a healthy immune system.
Big
helps
time.
Lower inflammation, which is one of the primary risk factors of Alzheimer's disease. And it improves sleep. Helps people fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and fall back to sleep. When I started taking lion's mane for sleep, I would notice I would wake up in the middle of the night and I was much more easily able to fall back to sleep.
Yeah.
Don't check your phone. If it's dark outside, just lay in bed and fall back to sleep. And I was able to fall back to sleep much more easily with lion's mane. So many different benefits of it. So it's great for ADHD for these reasons as well, because it improves memory, helps with sleep, helps with depression and anxiety. A lot of people with ADHD have some form of anxiety or depression. And so all these benefits. And then lion's mane is extremely safe. It's a natural mushroom that's found in the wild. And so those are some really good supplements.
It's going to be organic, which is nice.
It's great.
Yeah. So what are the three most dangerous drinks for your brain?
So number one, this is an obvious one. People still drink it, is soda. So soda is high in sugar, but has no fiber. And so when we drink soda, that spikes our insulin, spikes our blood glucose, that increases the risk of type 2 diabetes, which is a major risk factor of Alzheimer's disease. It can promote weight gain. And then diet soda, that can be even worse, because diet soda can often disrupt the gut bacteria, and that can affect all kinds of issues, including your gut bacteria is involved in your immune system. It's good for your gut. It's good for your brain. So it can be harmful for your brain there as well. Number two, this is a crazy one. This is the Frappuccinos. These giant drinks just packed with sugar. Coffee is great for the brain, especially organic coffee. Coffee is one of the most pesticided crops in the United States. Make sure you get organic coffee. But the problem with these Frappuccinos is these are giant coffees. These are 300, 400, 500 milligrams of caffeine. A regular cup of coffee is 100. So this is three coffees, four coffees, five coffees. It's way too much for your nervous system. Number two, they're loaded with sugar. So you got a ton of caffeine and a ton of sugar in there. And then some people put, different fats in there as well. So these are just a ton of calories and a ton of sugar. This is really not good for your brain for the same reasons that soda isn't good either. And then lastly, some people think this one is healthy. These are the energy drinks. Again, super jacked up in caffeine and often the sweeteners, often either regular sugar or chemical sugars, the aspartame and the Equal and so forth. And so for similar reasons to soda, these energy drinks, though they do give you energy and these can be like fun for a workout, they have way too much caffeine for your brain and they have way too much sugar, and these can increase problems with the brain.
And these are things that people are doing daily. They're going to Starbucks daily for their frap. They're drinking multiple energy drinks to get through the day, and they're drinking multiple.
Can you imagine that? Multiple monsters, or, my gosh.
Big, and it's destroying your brain, leading to type 2 diabetes, type 3 diabetes. It's sad, man. So humanity, we're not in the best place, right? But there can be a turning point. And if you have something that keeps you up at night, something that you have the greatest concern for humanity, what would that be, and what would you do about it?
So I'm rather optimistic about humanity. I mean, you and I are able to reach hundreds of thousands, millions of people relatively inexpensively by recording content on our phone.
10 million a month, bro. That's like, it's a lot.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So I think this is an amazing time. Technology is better than it's ever been before, and we're able to share about the science more quickly and easily and reach people more than ever before. So that's amazing. So I'm really positive about a lot of things in our world today. Certainly a number of things can be improved that we talked about. If I could make one change, the thing I'm most concerned about in the United States, it's not Alzheimer's disease, it's type 2 diabetes, which is going to be a massive concern, because 50% of adolescents in the United States have pre-diabetes.
Yeah.
And so if nothing changes, I'm very concerned for their quality of life and then what this does to our communities and then our economy and our country. And so I'm concerned about that. So if I can make one change, and I think this is a really important change that I really hope happens. I hope we can pray about this and send some prayerful energy to this, that this happens, that high fructose corn syrup becomes illegal in the United States and hopefully illegal all around the world. High fructose corn syrup is a man-made invention that it's extremely sweet. It's addictive. It actually increases calorie consumption. When we consume high fructose corn syrup, we become hungrier and it directly promotes fat gain around the belly fat, which is very, very dangerous. And so for just a few pennies per can of soda, these large companies that are already making a lot of money could simply protect us from the damages of high fructose corn syrup. So my prayer for the world is that sometime soon, high fructose corn syrup is no longer an ingredient in food.
Is high fructose corn syrup more linked to diabetes than regular sugar?
Yes.
Robert, I love you. You're a great human. I love your fire. I love your passion. I love your zest for humanity and the hope that you're bringing the world. You've been a fantastic guest.
Thank you.
I look forward to our friendship growing, helping each other reach more people. You got a great heart, a great mission, and a great vibe about you, bro.
Thank you, Warren. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, bro.